of all, everybody give credence to Bob because he's actually the one that put all of this together. Well, not put it together, but he's definitely the one that spurred the whole idea behind it.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, Vaughn. Thank you.
Cool. Hey, yay.
So Vaughn had a lingering question that he and I had many conversations about white people always want to be black. And so, literally, that's how this whole conversation started. And then what happened with that was we ended up going into, like, different examples of where white people had become black, Rachel Dozio being one. But then, more specifically, I thought about this book that we're reading now, Black Like Me, that I read when I was an undergrad freshman in college. And the whole idea was, this was the first time that somebody really broke down the idea of becoming black and living in black society. And it had never been seen before. So I just thought this would be a good example, a good chance to actually talk about books. And then from there, me and Vaughn were supposed to be reading the book together. But then he was like, well, invite Michael Dane. And I was like, well, you know what? Oh, he got involved as well. So now we're all doing the book.
Right.
And that's where we are with it. Like, and I mean, I've talked to everybody individually about the book. With the exception of maybe you, Jamal. I don't know if me and you, because you hadn't, when we were in Vegas, you didn't get a chance. You hadn't gotten the book yet, so.
Right.
So yours is going to be like the most fresh perspective, because everybody else, I kind of gotten a vibe from. Especially me and him have had some deep conversations. Not so much about the content of the book, but about the premise about the book. So, for anybody, I mean, this is just we're just recording this because we don't know where it's going to go, but this might never be published. It's just going to be like, just for the record, but for anybody, if we do publish, for anybody who's listening, Black Like Me is a book by John Howard Griffith where he pretty much decided that he was going to go into America he's a white man, and he was going to go into America becoming a black man. He went through a process of changing himself into being black, which is much more serious than just getting a tan. I mean, like, he went through medicine, like, shaving his head, like, really becoming a black man.
Yeah. Really extreme.
Yeah, that's what we
Right now. That's why I had said that the book cover that you had posted on Facebook, I was like, he looked totally different than what I imagined. Like, the book cover, it just looked like a white man in blackface. Like, I thought, like, I pictured it, since he had medication and all these procedures and stuff, I thought it would look a little bit
better. Right, well, you know what? We weren't there, and he doesn't have any pictures in the book. Now, I watched the movie, and the movie looked just as much about him being, like a darker complexion. But you got to understand that, and this is an interesting point, everybody back then were so, like, color, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he presented, you know, because, you know, they went ahead with him being black, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay,
I don't know. I mean, I just know that the book cover that I saw in the movie I got a chance to watch, he looked like he was a white man looking black.
Okay.
Fly. I can only imagine that in 1959, y'all, would anybody have really been like, oh, a white man is trying to become black? They just would have been like, okay, he's black and he looks black. He would have looked Carson Blanc from, like, you know, the New Orleans people, or he would have looked like just, I don't know. He would have just looked like a regular black man, a regular black man who just had a lot of white
feet. Therefore, you kind of like this person is. I think with obviously having the visual picture helps, but I've kind of created his own being in my head to what he looks like.
Right.
A black looking at him. And that's kind of what has helped me a bit guide through the book. I have to separate my own personal feelings from what's being told to me, you know?
Right. And that was, for me, like a struggle, because I'm trying to read this and I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Why is he, you know, referencing black people like this? And I mean, I get that it was written in a certain time frame, but for me, I felt like, okay, as much as he's trying to get insight into what it means to live and be in this world as a black person, he's also reading them out. Like, that was just my perspective. I'm like, is he trying to be so objective to the point where it's now sounding like reads? So that was one of the things that I was like really struggling with, because I'm like, okay,
well, you know what? Let's start with the beginning of the book, y'all. Let's dissect the book. So y'all remember the beginning of the book? He decided, okay, he had to, so keep in mind, everybody, that John Howard Griffith was a writer already, and he had written many books, and it was
right.
He wasn't this isn't just somebody who said, oh, I'm gonna do this, and became like a one hit wonder in the book world. Like, he was an accomplished, you know, writer, accomplished journalist. And he decided he wanted to do this experiment. And remember, he went to the white man that owned the publishing company that had all the black people working for him. Y'all remember that? And he was like, you know, I wanna do this experiment. And the white man was like, you know, this is dangerous. Like, so what you're saying, Michael D, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that you think even the beginning of starting to do that, it's somewhat problematic for you?
I mean,
you have a problem with the whole book. So.
Oh, I do. Let's be clear. I mean, I do, like, as far as me grappling with my own, you know, like, reservations, as far as, like, I get into the book, you know, he wanted to move forward with this project, and, you know, there are mixed reviews on both sides, black and white, about the publishing of the book.
Well, no, I'm talking about just him wanting to do the, no, not all the hoopla, because we want to stay focused here. You know,
right, okay, in his process, the guy, in his process with doing this, in my mind, I'm like, who are you to be wanting to do this in
so
the
you
first
have a
place?
With...
I mean, yes, well, go ahead. No, I'm saying, go ahead.
It comes off like black people are like lab animals or something. Like, when we go to this...
That's Marcus, by the way, y'all. Marcus Lawson. He's been on the Ejection podcast.
Hello. Let me go to this.
I mean, we just jumped right in. We were right into it. We didn't do introductions. I'm trying to backtrack and do some introductions. But go ahead.
So, like, let me go to this environment and see how they live. Like, he kept referencing Negroes. He never really said, like, black Americans or black people. I know people really weren't talking like that back then, but...
Right! People talking like niggers.
Right.
Color. You know what I mean?
Color. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, if you really have sympathy for the black plight, I mean, why... It just felt like we were in a cage and he's taking notes and... That was my thing with it.
And that was troublesome for you?
Just a little bit, yeah. We're a people. We're a culture. Like, it's not something to be experimented on. Like,
so Vaughn, let me ask you this. Vaughn, y'all know he's been on the show. He's given us some very, very, very colorful imagery about, you know, Vaughn. So, do you share with them, or do you feel like you're getting why white people want to be black? Like, were you getting that from it?
I think there's an understanding. I'm starting to kind of get in the book. One thing that I kind of liked was the fact that it wasn't based in whiteness. What I mean by that is, like, he didn't approach it with the privilege that he had before changing himself to this black man. So he's almost uncomfortable in their spaces. He doesn't necessarily want to, like, put himself on because I think he knows and realizes that if he goes too far, he'll kind of tell on himself.
Right, but that's further along in the book. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like just the initial stages, like, when we've already... And, you know, Jamal, I haven't even heard from you because me and you haven't talked about the book. I haven't talked about it very much. But, like, what did you get from it when you first read that this man is having this idea about becoming black?
What were you saying?
It's like...
What's funny? Who's laughing?
Like,
I mean, it was actually a flip side. I don't know if y'all recall that when Eddie Murphy did the skit on Saturday Night Live, he wanted to be white. He did the exact same thing. Like, he said, let me see what it is to be white. So he got an extensive makeup job and stuff like that. And he walked around as a white man.
Mm.
Yeah, well, let me say this, y'all. At first when I started reading it, I was like, okay, maybe he just wants to see, if he could be treated, you know, differently as a black person, or, you know, I thought maybe it was, at first I was kind of feeling the experiment, but then when he went to going to doctors and getting prescribed medicine to darken his skin and all of this stuff and going to stay with a friend who he didn't want the friend to know all about what he was doing. I mean, it started to become like really extreme. And then the guy at the shoe shine, he eventually told him what was up. I mean, it was just a lot. I mean, it was a lot. I mean,
I didn't think black people would be open to it. Like in the book anyway, not in real life. Like
in real life, y'all, I mean, not to jump too forward, but after the book was done, he was jumped and he spent 5 weeks in the hospital and he was jumped by some black dudes who were not in agreement with, you know, with the idea. Now, if we want to talk about it from a social perspective and go there, like, at the time, in the research I've been able to do, like, black and white people were against the whole idea of him doing the book. And it, from what I was been able to discover, and I talked to one of my good friends, who actually, she's turning 74, this year, she's proud of it, Beverly. She told me that at the time, you know, people were pretty much like, I'm all for it, I think it should be done, or I'm totally against it. And the reality is, that idea crossed both racial lines. White people felt that way, and black people felt that way, both ways. So, I mean, we can look at it, some of us in this conversation right here look at it as offensive, some of us look at it as bold. Some of us look at it as...
Yeah, I would call it bold, for sure.
What do you think, Michael J.? What do you think about this?
I mean, because there are two sides to it, I mean, everybody, you know, of course they're going to be opposing extremes, but, you know, from his perspective, I guess, from reading this, I gather that he absolutely felt it was necessary. The for me, and I don't even want to say this is a problem, I guess just something I'm grappling with because I'm in 2019 and not 1959 or whatever the case may be. And so some of the language is a barrier for me to be like, you know, who the hell is he talking to?
Right.
But I have to understand, like, okay, there's a context here. This is the way in which they were speaking. So, okay, and his scientific approach to it, as far as it being a larger, substantial project, it's like, okay, maybe I can try to be more objective and see why he wanted to, based on all of the racial divides and the things that were going on, and trying to really come up with, understand his reasoning behind trying to come up with a solution. Because from this, it's like, okay, you now have the insight. What is your plan of action? Like, what are you going to do now,
like, now
to transform the experience between black and white people? Did you just...
But hadn't he done enough, though? I mean, that's what I say. Like...
Yeah, he really did a lot.
Right.
I mean.
Go ahead, Jamal. He did a lot. What do you do?
I mean,
I'm just saying the whole experiment and taking the pills and stuff and going through the whole darkening his skin and hiding it from his family. I mean, I don't know what to call that other than really extreme. I mean, because I didn't get that far in the book, but my thing is, like, how do you undo this now? How do you go back to your family and explain all this? But Okay.
I say Mike's point is, what does he do with the information after the fact? Like,
well, I don't think it's meant for him to do anything. That's the whole thing. I think this is meant to be a classic piece that's meant to be, and that's standing the test of time, because we're sitting here talking about it in 2019. And I think it's meant to be that he went through it so that he could say from a white perspective, this is what I experienced when I tried to become black.
And then he wrote the book, and then it's like,
what we do with it is what gets done. Not necessarily what he was going to do with it. I think he did all that he could do with what he was trying to do. And so, I'm a fan of it, to be quite honest with you. And me and the Vaughn have had this conversation as well. Like, because he's appreciating, in my opinion, he's appreciating the black experience. So, I'm very open to this whole idea and this whole experiment. And that's just my take on it.
I mean, is he appreciative, though, or is he...
No, I
does he have the... Oh, okay.
I don't think he's appreciative of anything.
Because
like,
it's like he fell into the same stereotypes as all other white people. Like, he assumed black people were doing one thing because they were lazy or why they can't work and stuff like that. Like, I mean, he saw what the truth was, but...
Right, and that's the value in it, for lack of a better way to put it. Like, he went in and he became black, so he had to see. Because as a white man, he could only look from the outside. Let's just be honest with y'all. We're not really letting white people into our spaces like that. Not like that. You know what I'm saying? So, a lot of times, they only can see from the outside looking in. And I do think that is a reality. And what he did was, he said, okay, I'm going to go to the next step above, and I'm going to figure out, I'm going to become black so I can understand how it is to be black. And then he realized that we aren't working less or less credible or any of that. He realized we were just like everyday people. Like, when he was washing in the basin and sweating and all that, like, the image that he put forth in the beginning of the book with starting to understand that black was just like white and he wasn't anything special. You know, I think that's really, really important prose for a white person reading this book to understand that you're not really different. Because I think somewhere, I personally believe that somewhere in the network of being white, white people do, on some level, I'm not saying all white people by far, but some white people do feel like they're different than black
people. I agree.
Yeah, I think that's what he's realizing, that what he's kind of been told and has been taught over the years is not what he got. Like, I've seen it with the interactions with people. Like, he's well aware of how things work, but I think it's kind of like building those actual connections with people is what's kind of holding him back right now, because he doesn't know how to approach it. When you've kind of been sold this idea of what it means to be black, and then you kind of throw yourself into blackness, him as a white person is uncomfortable. He doesn't quite know how to navigate in those black spaces because it's nothing like he's kind of been through before.
Right. It's a lot of extremes. Like, he got to walk 5 blocks to go to the bathroom.
Right.
He
can't.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. What do y'all think about the shoeshine dude? The shoeshine dude who, at first, when he went in and he was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna be coming in, and you know, I'm a white man. I just moved here, like, and the shoeshine dude was like, "Yay, hey, you know,
what up?" Yeah, that's what I was surprised that another black person was open to that. Like, I would think, because he did have apprehension and reservations about telling another black person what was really going on,
right?
And once he did it, I didn't think somebody would be open to assisting him like that, like.
Would you have been open to helping and assisting him like that? Like, put yourself in that same situation.
Nah.
Would you have been down?
Because, like I said earlier, it's like, black people aren't something to be experimenting on. It's like, I just don't like that.
Okay, I see. So, you're looking at this from the lens of, this was an experiment to just help.
Right, and this is like my thesis. Here are the results. And it's like, so what's
right, and this is something that the data is to be shared with black, white people, other white people.
Yeah, like, right.
See, I I agree with that because that's kind of the way I've approached it. But my viewings of the book is a bit different now.
Uh-huh.
I feel like there's an emotional kind of connection that he's starting to build within these black spaces. Mm. And you kind of see that with the way that he's interacting with people. He seems a lot more comfortable in this beginning portion as it all kind of progresses. And I think that says a lot to the story. I think that a lot of white people have created this idea or this narrative of what black people are and how we operate in our own environments. And I think that him as a white guy is kind of realizing that what has been said, what has been taught isn't necessarily true, but he does see the issues with it. Like I said, I had to really like understand him in a bit and kind of step out of myself and really understand the story and the process, you know, of what's going on. Like putting yourself back in that time period where a lot of black people weren't highly educated and wouldn't be able to kind of notice the things that may be different between black and white people and how he kind of used that at his advantage. And even with like within the actual story, I see the conversation he's had with like on the bus, a situation he ran into where it was kind of one of those moments where he really opened his eyes and was like, whoa, I'm actually black. Like I walked on this bus expecting for it to go one way, but it didn't. It's kind of the first interaction with blackness in a sense where you really get to see what it means to be black in this time in this world.
Well, you know, Vaughn, it's interesting that you say that because to a large extent he had to learn being black. But you know who also said that? Barack Obama said that he had to learn being black. He said it in one of his books. I can't remember which one, but I read both of them. But I know he said that in one of his books, that he had, you know, to learn how to walk, to learn how to talk, to learn. Is there such a thing as learning to be black?
I don't think so. I mean,
I don't think you're learning to be black. If you're talking about a certain way of walking and talking, that's just, is that being black or is that just, you know, learning the slang and the mannerisms of a culture? That's not, I don't know.
As far as like navigation, I think that's more so what it is.
Yeah, because that's right. The same token. If you say it like that, I mean, white people are white. When you think about cultural appropriation and stuff like that, like that's pretty much the same thing. Like a white person.
Well, I think that's their version of what they think a culture is, and so they take on the most surface level things that they can do. I guess that would be practical for them, but that's so surface level. With a lot of what white people do in cultural appropriation, that they don't go deep enough to understand the history or connections and traditions behind why they may like something, whether it's a particular hairstyle or a particular piece of clothing or whatever the case may be. They're just looking at what they see and trying to emulate that.
Right.
And feel like, oh, I know what it means to be black. No, the fuck you don't. Not really.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, not really.
Like, for instance, he couldn't understand when he was at the, remember when he was at the black boarding house, he had somehow got, because well first he started out with his white friend, remember that? And he couldn't have a conversation with the white friend about why he was changing over or what his experiment that he was doing. He didn't have a conversation with him.
This is the friend that he wanted to keep it secret, right?
Right, because he quote unquote didn't want to get him involved. First of all,
right,
why get you involved? Why is that the kind of, like, I mean, you know what I mean? What does that mean? Get you involved? What kind of
version? I mean, you could tell me what's up and tell me what's going on, what you're thinking about, what you are doing, and that's not involving me. I think
you kind of felt it's going to have a lot of repercussions.
That's Jamal Richardson, everybody. You know, he's also.
Thank you. Just put my government out there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think he kind of felt that he was going to have a lot of repercussions when he came out. From black and white people. White people were not going to respect him for simply wanting to be black, and black people were going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what?
Right, and you know what? And that's how come he got ridiculed by whites, jumped by black people. Like, it was just a little too much.
Yeah. It was giving a lot.
And I don't think either race was ready for the onslaught of understanding each other for real. Because if you notice, the Shoeshine boy had a total different reaction to him when he was a white man as opposed to when he was a black man, even though he gave pretty much the same name, the same attitude, the same demeanor, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we see that today. Like, no matter how black we might be, white people still, or how white we might be, or whatever, they react to us based on what they perceive as our relation to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like with the Shoeshine Man, he kind of had to, when he was white, he was able to kind of give him this, like, top-notch, you know, customer service kind of attitude. But then when he was black, there was a comfortability that kind of fell over the Shoeshiner, to where he could kind of speak with him and talk with him a little bit more fluently, and to an extent.
Right. So I think that, and I agree with what y'all are saying, like the dynamics and interactions change based on a person's perception of you. You know, I guess in relation to them, and in this context, we're talking about like white people. So when he went to being, you know, living as a black person, so to speak, those dynamics changed. And he saw that. He was able to witness that. And so that did add to his learning about the project that he was undertaking. I get all of that 100%. I guess I'm more interested in the pieces that relate to actually doing something like, because this no doubt was a transformative experience for him. Clearly he, you know, had his experience and the feedback and whatever that followed. But what from this do we use to do anything transformative in the present? Like, how do we use this information is what I'm saying, because clearly this was wrote, you know, back when it was written and it's being discussed in 2019. And I'm sure we're not the first people to have a discussion about this book, but what has stemmed from this book in the way of changing racial relationships, specifically black and white ones? What, and if any, what can we do?
I personally think not much has changed other than how we refer to, well, how white people refer to black people. Like, some of the slang terms and stereotypes still exist today. Like, in the example, me and Antoine talked not long ago about the book, I said some of the experiences he had are still relevant today. Like, parts of the South, and a black person will tell you, oh, you know, you need to be careful when you go to that area because...
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Not much has changed in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to him on the bus ride. Like, when he was going to... when he got off the bus, I'm sorry. And he got off at the neighborhood. I think he was going to the movies or something like that. And he had befriended the black boy. And he told him, you know, be careful when you're walking down the street because if some white guys start hollering at you, just keep walking. You know, don't walk by the alley, walk in the middle of the street. Just stuff like all these precautions and stuff. I think it's still relevant to certain parts of the country.
Right.
How about the white woman stuff? Like, you can't look at a white woman picture.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, don't, you know, like the white woman, what are you looking at me like that for on the bus?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, she decided just how she far his whiteness gets him.
Like, I think when you take somebody and kind of pull them out of their comfortability, like he's doing to himself, things from an entirely different perspective. You're not this white guy who operates as a white man in the world. You are now black. So now he's in the same world he's always been in, but he's now seeing that it's 10 million times different than what he used to.
Right. Like, you can't even extend basic courtesies to a white woman. Like, he thought about offering his seat to her, and she thinking on a whole other level that, oh, he's...
Right.
Just because he's black. It's like, no. For a split second, he just wanted to offer her a seat.
And the black woman on the bus is like, wait a minute. Like, he's got to get everybody together. You know what I mean? Because it's getting out of hand. She's like, wait a minute. They don't always, you know, they don't always want to sit or something like that. I mean, that, but you know what? What do y'all get from him noticing? And me and Von, you talked about this. Me and you talked about this. But, like, he's also played in a different level of society than he probably would have been had he been black originally, for lack of a better way to put it. Meaning that he's giving educated, he's giving, you know, more advanced, that type of thing. He probably wouldn't have been on a bus. So, is he also misplaced as it relates to black society?
I think he approached it from the only way he knew how. I think if he were to speak to the more, you know, wealthier, affluent black people, I don't think he necessarily would have gotten the same experience as he would from your poorer black folks.
Right.
And I think that's kind of beneficial to the story as well, where you're not speaking to black people who have created this wealth for themselves, who have everything that, you know, a lot of black people have to do. You know, you're more lower class black people and try to understand it. I kind of had to give him credit for it. I think when it comes to the authenticity of black, it's better to get in that time period, it's better that of the lower middle class black people, the upper one, because it may not be the same conversation. You may not get a glimpse into it from them as you would lower class or the poor.
Well, I think I agree with you, Vaughn, basically. And I also think that...
I do, too.
Yeah, and I also think that had he been introduced into the upper echelon of black, I think it would have been still transformative. It would have been a little bit different. Like, but I think you said also before, Vaughn, you were talking that he would have been discovered quicker if he had been in the upper echelon.
Definitely. I definitely think so. I think...
Hello? And why do you say that?
I think those conversations were more, like, deeply yoked, I guess, to say, than trying to understand the way that he is.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, I feel like he would have been able to kind of tell on himself a bit more around more educated black people. Or he would have exposed himself maybe a bit more to.
Well, he did interact with some educated black people. When he went to the bar and the group of black people were talking about politics and the current mayor and stuff
Yeah. Right, but even in those moments, he kind of spoke about how he didn't give too much, essentially, because he didn't want to.
He just listened, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like...
But he listened because he was scared, though. That was my thing.
Yeah.
Are you observing?
I think he was scared, yeah.
And see, this is where it gets a little tricky for me, because... Are you trying to participate as a black person, or are you trying to assimilate so you can just get information?
He can't really have a black opinion, though. So if we people are talking about the current state of things, like, say, the presidential race or whatever the case is, I can't remember the exact issue they were talking about. He can't see things from a black perspective, so how can he really chime in? Like, what? I mean...
tends to kind of dumb himself, doesn't speak too much to kind of tell himself off. I once again, it kind of goes back into his approach of this. He kind of knew which blacks to interact with and which ones not to, you know.
Isn't that kind of weird, class.
I think he strategically mapped himself perfectly for this experiment. I think when you get into the conversations of, like I said, lower class and middle class and all that jazz, I think the conversations with the more upper class would have been, he would have been able to understand them, but I think there still would have been a piece missing from it. And I think with this, not only is he hearing it from these black people, but he's actually experiencing it. Therefore, kind of pushing him into the conversation a little bit more than he would have been with other black people. What was going on in those areas. But I think when you're kind of blinded by the wealth, you don't quite take in a lot of it as you should.
Hmm. Okay, so you know what, y'all? I sent y'all some questions earlier. We're going to go around the room. We got everybody on deck. So, let's talk about design flaws, y'all. One of the questions I asked was, do you think that the experiment had some design flaws? I'll start with you, Marcus. Do you think there were design flaws in the experiment?
I think there were design flaws only because it was all new to him. Like, he didn't know how to approach the situation. Like, he was just pretty much shooting off the cuff. Like, I'm going to get this procedure done, and I'm going to just go right into it. So, I mean, if he had thought it out a little bit more, had an actual plan, I mean...
So you think the design flaw was that there was no design?
Right.
Okay. I don't think there's really a way
Vaughn?
To kind of calculate that, though. How do you kind of lay out a plan to be black when you don't...
All right, yes. How
did
you lay out a plan to be black?
I mean, yes! in his whiteness, I mean, that's what he wanted to do. That could be another thing of white privilege. Like, oh, I could just be black for a little bit and then get the experience down. Like,
yeah, and that's one thing that, like, me and Juan talked about was, like, his privilege is what's essentially guiding him through this. There's, even though he is visually black, there's still a privilege that he has to kind of combat with, you know, where, like, where he speaks to the white woman on the bus and she snaps on him, like, you're pushing those same white courtesies on people, which isn't wrong, but you have to also understand too that so that nice sweet white guy that's in there can't be himself.
You're pushing white courtesies on people. I mean, what do you think, Jamal?
I mean, as far as design flaws, I think that I just don't think that he thought about it well enough, because I mean, I think that if he had thought about it long enough, it probably he should have second thought about doing it. Like, you know, if it were me in his position, I would have said, you know, I ain't gonna do this. This is too much. I mean, because I feel like he was taking a big risk, not to mention, you know, health risk, because, you know, taking medication like that to darken your skin, some shit can go terribly wrong at any time. And not only that, I mean, like you guys said, he had to battle with that white privilege that he was already used to. And, you know, just me thinking about how people were going to react to it, you know. I'm just like surprised early in the beginning that he just, you know, didn't get killed. I mean, I just don't think that he carefully thought about it.
Especially in that time period, right?
Yeah, but you think there were dangers involved?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So you think the dangers that were involved were from black people?
I mean, I mean, I think there are dangers on both sides, because
I'm not trying to tell too much of the book, but I'm gonna let you all know that, like, having read the whole book, ultimately a lot of the dangers that came about, one, I'm not gonna give too much, but it wasn't about dangers from black people. It was him being a little bit too uppity in black society and white society that actually might have been a little bit more dangerous. We're gonna leave it alone. So anyway, what you think, Michael J? Flaws in the design?
Yeah, there are clearly, like, flaws in the design. I mean, I get that this was like 1959, so, you know, and him, you know, being privileged, I mean, maybe, you know, because I'm thinking in 2019 terms, he could have used his privilege to, you know, access a black person to probably gain some insights into what are some things that he might have needed, but he wasn't thinking that way in 1959 or whatever.
But that's, you know, so, what? Oh, that's Dana Decker.
Right. What I'm saying is, I'm saying that there were flaws because he wasn't thinking beyond the next step. He just knew he wanted to change his skin to be black and immerse himself. He actually thought it probably was an immersion trip, and he wanted some protections, and he was way in over his head. That's just
okay. You're making it very formal. It was an immersion trip, and he wanted protection.
No, I'm not making it formal. I'm saying this is based on his interest in this. From what I gather, this is how he's looking at it.
Mm-hmm. That it was an immersion trip.
Correct.
And he was basically becoming black as part of his
right journey. And he wanted some information, and he got some information.
And you think it was that simple?
I'm saying his approach was simple. That's why there were flaws in the design.
So how would you have done it different?
I just gave a few examples. I would have done just what I said. Mm-hmm. And I also would have planned. I would have, because what I did not get from this book is how long he had been wanting to do this. And so
it seems like it was spur of the moment.
Right. It seems like it was like very like spur of the moment and like no advanced planning to really think about the implications or things that he would need outside of changing his skin complexion and just going to navigate black communities. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was probably a big undertaking back then. So I'm not trying to say that he didn't assume some, you know,
serious liability.
Yeah, but it just, I mean, it could have, more could have been done, but, you know, he did what he did.
Mm. But let me ask you all this. After this book, before this book, and after this book, and many other things, the situation as it relates to people of color. Do y'all think we, looking at the time period, do y'all think this experiment advanced anything?
No.
No, I don't think, because not much has changed. I mean, like we said earlier, a lot of the stereotypes and all of that stuff still very much exist in certain parts of the country.
Right.
And not only just black people, but I had told Antoine before too that a lot of the language that you hear in the book is some of the same language you hear about people talking about the immigrants coming over to the country.
And that's true.
Exactly, yeah. We don't treat them as, or among society, they're not talked about as humans. They're talked about like, you know, some kind of, I don't know, animal or other species or something. You know what I mean? They're not treated like people.
Right.
You know, are the immigrants though, like, are they in the same situation as black folks?
Not first. They don't live in the country, so they have a whole other part to what they're going through.
Right, that's my thing. Like, I mean, black folk, we are residents of the United States of America, and I'm not taking away from the immigrant flight because I know it's really dirty and there's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's kind of, you know, it's not cute at all.
But that's what makes the black plight so bad, though. Like, we are citizens and we do live here, but we don't have the same. We don't have those same privileges as white people. Like, if it's all supposed to be equal and it's written in the Constitution and all this stuff, like, all men created equal, it's not like that at all.
It's not.
So we as black folks should be as carefree as white folks as it relates to immigration?
No, you're comparing black people's plight to the immigration plight, and I'm saying black people, I think our plight is worse because we are actual American citizens, like, but we still suffer, like, they're not citizens, they're trying to become citizens, but we already here, like, and we still go through what we go through.
I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think you can't necessarily compare the issues between blacks and people, you know, who are trying to come over here now. But I think it is definitely an eye-opener. Though we don't live in the 1940s or 50s now, I think it's interesting to kind of see those same things parallel us today.
Yes.
Where you have and then fighting for their freedom, and this big organization is stopping them. Mm. I've always found it kind of interesting that black people aren't quite on the side of people who are coming over here from, you know, Latin countries and things like that. And I think it's mainly because we still have our own fight that we're dealing with on this land as well.
Right.
You can't
right.
be a hand to someone if you're not in a better place and they are, you know?
Right. I'm still fighting for my rights. Like.
Right.
Well, you know, getting back to the book, like, when we look at, like, some of the stuff he went to, like, going to the YMCA and, like, just trying to, you know, trying to become part of black society in the beginning, when he first started, like, do you all think that a lot, do you think that his situations that he encountered were fair?
What should be fair?
He was looking for an authentic black.
Okay.
That in depth with all is going to happen, I think. And he's having to like readjust himself in the first couple, you know, entries that we've read, where he mm-hmm. he can't just be the nice, friendly white guy that approaching it from, you know, a black person's perspective.
Right. I mean, and Marcus, you asked your question, that's what I mean. Like, fair, like were there situations that came up that, like, again, with the YMCA or... it was a woman, Miss Davis. Do y'all remember her? Anything?
The lady, the widow that was flirting with him or something? Was that that lady?
Right. She had great kindness, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Like, was he able to, I guess the bigger question is, was he able to understand the totality of what was happening in that moment? Do you think by this point, because at that point we were a little bit far into the situation, because he had been black for a minute, do you think at that point that he understood the totality of blackness?
Oh, no, I think he still had a ways to go. Like, you mean when he first met the lady?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think he still had a ways to go to get some a deeper understanding. Like, because mm-hmm. he hadn't even got to Mississippi yet. And when they started,
this is still New Orleans, right?
Yeah,
right.
And so when he on his way to Mississippi, they started talking about the lynching of the young man and how the white jury dismissed the people, the suspects involved and stuff like that. So he didn't really go through anything that extreme yet. Like, he still had to have more experiences to see just how bad it is, you know, being black in the South. Like,
Jerry, what's your thing?
I agree. I mean, he was going through his experience, and he was having different interactions along the way. That one interaction does not give him license to be understanding in full expectation the black experience based on him wanting to do the project. Like, it's just another experience until he got to like different parts where things were worse. And I mean, I'm pretty sure when he got to those places like Mississippi and whatnot, seeing the climate, he was like, probably like, oh, this shit is really for real.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just going through all the different levels of prejudices that he experienced while he was living as a black man, so to speak.
Mm.
So it was like layered for him, like an unraveling of sorts because one location is not the same as the next. So there are different degrees of prejudices, different degrees of discrimination, some more harsher than others that he was going to experience along the way. So at that point, which is, I'm looking at it as a I don't want to say a checkpoint for him, but it probably was a pivotal moment for him, but not the complete, you know, okay. Like, oh, I get it. I got it. No, not by far.
A black woman flirting with me. I made it.
Right.
But having, I mean, you know, I guess as a white man trying to come into a black space, because, you know, the whole white woman thing is problematic. So isn't being able to be with a white, or be a black woman, or having a black woman be attracted to you, isn't it like success in reverse, kind of, so to speak?
Well, I mean, success in reverse based on his current position?
Based on being a white man and having to always have a bartering situation with a black woman. Having to always have, you know, you're going to give me some pussy so I can pick your light meal situation. You know, like, well, to be able to have...
She was a widow, and she just needed a man. And he, I guess to her, he was somewhat attractive, and she assumed he was single. So the shoe shine man even said it, like, oh, she's been looking at you the last few days. Like, so she was already on it. She was looking for somebody to fill that void that she had because she lost her husband. So.
So what did y'all think about the shoe shine man? Getting back to him. What do you think about a black man teaching you how to become part of black society? Is that okay?
I think it's the same as him. I think somebody mentioned if he had just, you know, pulled a black person to the side and asked them questions, you know, got some insight before he went into it, just let me change my skin tone and jump right into it. I compare that to be pretty much the same. I mean, he's just, and Sterling was just helping him out, like giving him insight on what you need to do and how you need to react to certain situations.
Was it just helping him out?
I mean, what else was he doing? It was nothing in it for him, so.
Right, but at the time, a lot of people would have called him a coon.
Against talking to him about these things, but I think a comfortability that black people have amongst other black people. And I think he kind of picked up on that too. Like, in order for this to work and to get the true understanding and meaning and to visually be able to see what's going on, hard, because like I don't want to connect with the character, but I kind of feel like I am, just kind of on the sense of like being in a space that you may not feel comfortable in, and kind of trying, if that makes sense. Like, you lose.
Okay.
Mm. Is that just me breaking up, or is everybody breaking up?
No, I'm hearing it too.
Oh, yeah, I heard it too. I thought it was just on my end.
Yeah.
Vaughn?
Yeah. Yeah, my phone.
Yeah, I thought it was just my situation too. But I think the bottom line is...
that's why nobody said anything.
Right. Like, I was talking and I just, you know, like... You know, Anchor is not perfect. But, you know, yeah. It works for the situation. So, the question is, so right now, he's on his way to Mississippi. And he's about to make the next turn in this trip. He's become, I guess, a lot more... understanding of being black? Is that one way to put it? Like,
I mean, he has a few points, I guess, a few tips, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, he's like getting his feet wet at this point. Like, I think with the interaction, that's kind of helped solidify what he's doing. It was kind of his first kind of moment to be like, okay, yeah, I am a black man in a white man's world. So it'll be interesting to kind of see. Because once again, it kind of goes back to privilege for me. I feel like if it's a turn down, is it going to stop?
How far
will it need to go?
Like, I could just stop taking the medicine and go home. Like.
Well aware of.
Well, we already know that. People. He has the option to just jump out of it, like, which is a lot, you know.
It is a lot. And it's, I mean, I get that this was 1959, but the fact that he could walk away from it at any moment. Like, this is why I don't really feel super sorry for him at all, honestly.
Right.
At all.
Like, why am I walking 5 blocks to the bathroom? I could just take this makeup off and do what
I need. That's what Vaughn always said. Like, why would you choose to be oppressed? You know what I mean? Like, who wants to choose to be that? But there's something in a lot of people who make them want to be.
I think for him, though, he didn't know it was going to be quite like that. Like, even though he's living during that time period, to experience it for yourself is different. Like, to see it is one thing, or to hear about it, but to actually have to walk those 5 blocks, walking past multiple bathrooms that you can't even go in, to actually experience that is different.
Yeah.
Right, and what if he had to go badly and it was just coming out?
Exactly. You know?
Right.
But I think those things kind of play into the story as well, too. Like, you wanted to be black. You wanted the authentic black experience, and now you have it. Now you're understanding the shit that we go through in this country. And especially you being a white man who never had to experience these things at all, it's an eye-opener for him. It's, like I said, the book itself is an interesting read that I've had to, like, put down a couple times because it was just my own feet. But it's possible for this to be a monumental moment for him. But what are you doing afterwards to kind of change the dynamic? Because essentially, my thought is, you did this, you wrote this book, you got paid for it, and that was the end of it. It was just white. There was no ongoing conversation and change in yourself and what.
But that's always the conversation. Well, not always, but that's a lot of times the conversation with white folks.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, you know, I jumped in, like, even like on my page and stuff. Y'all know that, like, on Facebook, like, I post a lot of stuff, and like, a lot of times white people, you know, they jump in, they make a comment here and there, and they go back, and then they even say, which is so telling, you know, this is your thing. Because me and my family, we don't even discuss race.
Of course not. Y'all don't need to discuss it. Y'all are privileged.
It's your privilege.
Everything is going fine for y'all.
I'm poor. First of all, I guarantee you, we can find out where you own some slaves. If you're anywhere south of Virginia, then your and your tree, not the family you might even think of as your normal family, but just your tree, your family tree, I'm sure we can find a slave owner. I know we can. And if we can't find a slave owner, we can find somebody who was directly impacted and made money off the slave trade. Yes.
I mean, that's just about any white person in America.
Definitely any.
Such, you know, their foundation in the South.
So let me ask y'all this before we go. Like, Marcus, what do you see coming within the next pages of the book after December 14th?
I see things being more eye-opening for him. Like, right now, he saw some stuff, you know, he see how, like I keep saying, the whole not being able to go into certain establishments, you know, he's experiencing those things, but it really hasn't got real for him yet. Like, he hasn't gotten attacked, you know. Well, a couple of white people followed him and tried to tease him, but that's really nothing. Like, nobody has nobody has put their hands on him or nothing like that. Like, yeah, I think it's going to get real later on down the line.
Okay. Vaughn?
I kind of agree with Marcus. And dive into this experience. I think it's going to be hell. Like, I think it's going to genuinely be hell, or at least not what he expects.
Right.
Yeah, because he's going deeper into the South, right?
Right, he's going deeper.
Yeah.
He's going to the bad part, so to speak.
Right, the bad part. But you can't, where it's like to a nigger. And that's what I'm
going
to say. Jamal,
I'm sorry, it's kind of breaking up still.
I said, Jamal, what you think about the happening in the next few pages? Until we meet in 2 weeks.
It's hard to say. I think y'all said everything. I mean, I think it's really eye opening for him. I think that he'll see more and more that, you know, black people are really no different from white people. I mean, but I don't know how else to put it. I mean, black people are really no different from white people. The only difference is the color of, you know, our skin. I mean, but
kind of like what he said, like in the beginning when he was like, when I washed as a black man, I washed as a white man. I sweat
the same exactly.
Okay, Michael J.
Okay, I have a little bit more of a transformative piece than that.
All right.
Because I think he's going to see that white people and so I do agree that as far as that surface level, you know, mundane type of stuff, that black people can do similar things. But I do think he's going to see just how different white people are from black people in the way that he's going to be treated, and the way that he's not going to be able to do a lot of stuff. He's going to have to watch his back way more than he thinks. And it's going to be because of white people. And so that's where the difference lies, the major one.
So you think he's going to be more, the situation is going to be more volatile?
Right. I mean, he's definitely going to have a more critical understanding of his whiteness as it relates to the group that he belongs to.
Okay. Well, you all, it's been a good conversation. We still meet back up in 2 more weeks to get to page to the entry related to does anybody have it in front of them? I guess I should have it. But
what's the next date to stop it?
Right, that's what I'm getting to right now. You don't have it?
Yeah, I'm looking at the book now.
You didn't mark the date, Marcus?
Oh, y'all already set the dates. I didn't see that.
You didn't see the email with the dates on it?
I'll go back and check.
Okay. It's the next book I will be until. The next one will be November 14th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The first one was November 14th. This one is December 1st. What am I talking about? Okay. It'll be until December 1st, and that's in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You gonna be ready? You actually came prepared today.
Oh, me?
Yes. You know what I'm saying? You read slow and you need more time.
I mean, but the book is short, though. It's only 200 pages, so. That's a good entry.
Accolades, Marcus.
That's a good entry level. That's a good entry level book to a book club.
Oh, all right.
I agree.
I don't know if
that's
a read or not, but I'm
that was a read. That was not a read.
What? I didn't think it was a read.
No. I thought if the first book was like 1,100 pages, it'll be like, whoa.
Okay, we'll be on that for 6 months,
right?
Because that's a lot to go through.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm glad you're feeling this great on summer. So, y'all, we'll meet back up on the 27th, same time. We need to be at December 1st in the book.
Okay.
All right.
December 1st.
Have a good one. This was a good book talk.
Yeah,
y'all
cool.
Are some smart bitches. All right.
That was a read.
Right, now that was a read. All right, y'all.